Trade my 4x4 for GC3, ain't no more feel of street. I gave him chance, a chance, a chance again. I even told him please. I find it crazy the police to shoot you and know that you dead, but still tell you to freeze. Look, I seen what I seen. I guess that mean hold him down if he say he can't breathe.
Hi, my name is Malcolm Capers, and I'm a young black man from the suburbs of New Jersey. I've never done this publicly, but I'm here today to speak about race and the effect it has on people in this country. I want to have a discussion about the racial disparities in the United States justice system and the impact that those disparities have on the black community today. With everything that's been going on in this country over the last year or so regarding the Black Lives Matter movement, especially in these past few weeks with the conclusion of the George Floyd trial, today's episode is timely. And no matter our differences, whether they be race, age, or otherwise, I believe it's a topic that needs to be addressed. The conviction of Derek Chauvin in the George Floyd case was a great step in the right direction as far as justice is concerned. However, it doesn't take away from the fact that for years there have been major issues in our justice system that just simply haven't been addressed. Eric Garner, the black man who was choked to death in 2014 over a loose cigarette. His killer, Daniel Pantaleo, still walks the streets of New York a free man. Another example, Terrence Kutcher, the black man who was shot on camera while he was unarmed. His killer still walks the streets a free woman. It took 331 days to convict Derek Chauvin of a murder that was nationally televised. However, when the roles are reversed and it's a black person perceived to be committing a crime against a white person, no matter the crime, and no matter if there's sufficient evidence to charge them or not, justice is served swiftly and harshly. And so what I want to talk about in today's episode is, you know, why these disparities are occurring. And then I kind of wanted to dive into the impact that those disparities have on the black community. To better understand these disparities, I did a little research, and I came across an article called The Racialization of Crime and Punishment by Rose Brewer and Nancy Heidsieck. It was a very dense read, and while that was the case, it gave me new insight as to why these disparities may be occurring. The two women who wrote this article kept referring to a term called the critical race theory, and that term actually gave a name to an issue that my parents and I had been speaking about for years. In much less complicated terms, the framework behind the critical race theory explains that the reason black people are treated unfairly in the U.S. justice system, and just in the U.S. as a whole, is because when our Constitution was drafted in 1787, all those hundreds of years ago, black people's wants, needs, opinions, essentially we as a race weren't taken into account. And the reason that we weren't taken into account is because we were never supposed to have rights. From the moment black people arrived in the United States as slaves in the 1600s, and for a very long time after that, the line between white people and black people was very clear. If you were white, you were free. And if you were a landowner, even better. However, if you were black, no matter the shade, you were property. And so instead of race and color signifying just difference in the melanin levels in our skin, it became a matter of superiority, and whiteness was used as a sort of currency. If you had it, you could do whatever you wanted, and you were afforded many privileges that black people weren't. You had access to the best doctors, you would go to the best schools, you could drink clean water. And then on the other hand, if you didn't have it, you were at the white man or woman's mercy, and you can use your imagination. We were subject to torment, rape, all types of physical abuse, and on top of that, we didn't have access to the best doctors or the best schools or to the opportunities that white people were afforded. But we still wanted to live. And at the end of the day, we still had to put food on the table for our family. And so because we weren't afforded the same opportunities to eat, to survive, to really enjoy life, many young black men and women turned to crime, things like drugs and theft, and other things of that nature to put money in their bank account and put food on the table for their family. And when you're doing this consistently, no matter for what reason, there's a very high chance that you're going to get caught. And this started a treacherous cycle. Now, while it's technically illegal to discriminate by race in the court of law, my research shows that black people are arrested and charged at a rate much higher than white people. In fact, according to the Prison Policy Initiative, for every 100,000 white people, only 450 are incarcerated. However, for every 100,000 black people, 2,036 people are incarcerated. That's more than five times the incarceration rate of our white peers. To go along with this, Evidence from a study by David Baldus proves that cases involving black defendants and white victims are more likely to result in a sentence of death than cases involving any other racial combination. So, we are being arrested at a higher rate and getting much harsher sentences than our white counterparts. And when you get these harsher sentences, usually they're in the form of felony charges. In the U.S., once you're labeled a felon, your life is effectively over. Instead of being rehabilitated like our justice system is supposed to do, the government cages prisoners up like animals in a hostile system and with no educational programming. And then when they're done, they spit the so-called criminals back onto the street with nothing to show for their time served but the label felon. Then, immediately after being released from jail, the newly freed men and women are required to prove that they have permanent dwelling and place of work. But as a felon in this country, that's almost impossible. Most jobs won't even look your way because of your criminal history. In fact, you can't even apply to work in certain fields such as teaching, childcare, or law enforcement because you have a felony conviction. And if you have a drug conviction to go along with that, not only does the felony conviction hinder you from getting a job, the drug conviction permanently bans you from receiving any federal public assistance. This includes assistance for needy families, Medicaid, supplemental Social Security income, even food stamps. You also can't live on Section 8, which is public housing. And in many states, felons are also disenfranchised, which means they're not allowed to vote. So with no voting rights, no place to live, and no legal way to make money, many former convicts often find themselves engaging in the same illegal activities that got them arrested in the first place. To be exact, about 83% reoffend. So now we have our grown men who have reoffended that are going back to jail. And as a result, our younger black men have no fathers to guide them. And because of all these new measures that are constantly being put in place to punish criminals, many black kids in these single mother, low income situations often end up in the same way that their fathers did, in jail. And that's the cycle that I'm talking about. And realistically, it's a never-ending one. You know, being raised as a young black man in this country and seeing and experiencing this cycle firsthand is very disheartening. While I've been blessed to come from a successful family who has managed to stay out of the system and out of trouble for so long, many people close to me have not. I'd say about a third of my friends have parents or siblings who have been to jail or are currently in the system. And I've seen the effect that it has on kids. They lack love. They lack guidance. And, you know, because they weren't taught otherwise, they treat authority figures as if they're nobodies. And realistically, I can't blame them. When all you know is police officers taking your loved ones or racially profiling you or your friends, why would you respect them? In your head, they're the enemy. And with no initiative being taken to teach kids otherwise, they end up trying to evade or outsmart the enemy, only to fall right into the trap and end up right back in the system, which, as I said, is just continuing the cycle. The system has been controlling and holding back black people for hundreds of years, and honestly, I see no clear end in sight. But because I've been afforded the life and opportunities that I have, I'm going to do everything humanly possible to protect the people that I love and care about from the system, and to whatever extent that I can, ensure that my children and their children, and in the much broader scope, all black children, can grow up in a world that's more suited for us. A world where they see successful men and women who look like them. A world where they understand that no matter their skin color, they can achieve anything that they put their mind to as long as they work hard enough. It's a tall task, but our generation needs to be the one to do it. We can be the generation to break the cycle and change the narrative. But we have to come together as one to do so. That is the point of this podcast. Not to bring you a boring history lesson, but to alert people to this problem. And hopefully as a result, encourage a solution. Individually, our efforts may seem futile. But when we come together as a race, we are an unstoppable force. And when unstoppable forces meet immovable objects, change is inevitable. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's been great speaking to you guys. Hopefully you guys enjoyed. I really hope this inspires you and shows you that no matter who you are, no matter what age you are, you can make a difference.
There's too many mothers just grieving. They're killing us for no reason. Been going on for too long to get even. Throw us in cages like dogs and hyenas. I went to court and they sent me to prison. My mama was crushed when they said I can't